Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President with the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. As we begin today, there's something I want to bring to your attention. At the John Maxwell Company, we do several public five levels of leadership workshops a year. And so we have a couple of coming up in October, one in Dallas and one in Atlanta. And we would love to have you join us there. If that is something that you are interested in, then please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/workshops, and you can see all of the information right there on that site. Also, just as a reminder, if you would like to even just learn more about this methodology or even perhaps bring a private workshop to your organization, you can visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And if you have a question or you want to leave us a comment, please do so, and Perry and I would love to respond. Well, today's topic is titled Questions I Need to Ask Myself as a Leader. And I threw the word need in there because I think there are some questions we would tell ourselves that we need to ask ourselves. But I think these are some things you brought to us today that I think we really do need to consider asking ourselves what that looks like. And we've talked about this in the past. It's a big topic for John. He wrote an entire book on it, Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. We're going to pull some content out from that today. But I really kind of like where we're going with this one.
Yes, big for me as well. It was it meant a lot to me personally when I first became a first-line manager for the first time. It were questions that John posed in a lot of the teaching that the way he mentored me through books and recordings over those years, and I think they really apply to my leadership. So let's just go through them. I'd love to give a couple of those, get your ideas on that. The first question that really struck me, and I couldn't really figure out why it was the first question about my leadership, but it says, am I investing in myself? And John called that a personal growth question.
Yeah. And I want to add on to the personal growth on the front end of this answer about from a professional standpoint. Leaders, listen to me. The business will get better when you get better,
right?
And that's so good. we always are dealing with C-suite, different people making decisions about investing in themselves or their team. And at the end of the conversation, it always comes back to, well, just show me how that affects our financials. And I want to challenge you. It starts with you. And there's a couple of things here for me, which is, hey, if someone is not going to bet on themselves, why would I ever want to invest in them? We call it almost the self-selection process and some of the corporate training and consulting. And we'll set some things up to where we'll allow team members to self-select into a personal growth journey, into some type of growth when it comes to leadership development, because those are the ones that you want to add, you know, a little bit of fuel on top of that flame to grow them. It also makes me think, just come back to the law of the lid. And, you know, this is classic when it talks about that, which is, not only is your business going to get better, but your team is going to get better when you begin to lift the lid on your growth and on your personal development. Last comment and thought here, we attract who we are, not who we want.
Right?
And so, you know, we get an open rec in an opportunity to hire somebody, to add them to our company, to add them to our team, and we're like, man, I'm going after this rock star. Well, if you can sell them, and I use the word sell to join your team, they won't stay long. And so you need to make sure that you're developing yourself because you're going to attract those that are like you.
Well, I think what I learned from John was that if I kept wanting to change my circumstances, change the environment, but what he said, you need to change you.
Yeah.
We're so quick to change the conditions, but not change us. There's so much to be said this is a pillar of my life. When I got this truth about you cannot give what you do not have, you've got to be pouring into you so you can pour into others, and that's the entire mission of your leadership is pouring into others so that you engage them, influence them, drive outcomes and results together as a team. But it all starts with you. I know in my model about remarkable managers, you got to lead you first, and then the people are watching you all the time, and they're not going to buy in. I got the law of buy-in. They're not going to buy into you, which means they're not going to buy into your business. So there's so much to be said
That's
about
good.
How you do that. But let's move on. Number two, which really spoke to me was, am I genuinely, love that word, genuinely interested in others? And John called this the question of motivation.
Yeah, and this is this really tells you a lot about, for me, the motives of a leader. I've heard some say that we all have a good reason, and then we have a real reason. And if you think about that, for everything we do, right, what boils down to is what the motive is behind those reasons. And so motives absolutely, matter. And so you need to make sure that you are genuinely interested, in others. John says this, I think this is great. He says, questioning your motives is not the same as questioning your character. Mm. And then he unpacks it a little bit and he says, yeah, if you have poor character, then you probably have poor motives. That's probably a common theme. He goes, however, just because you have good character and you have solid character, you can still fall prey to poor motives. And I was like, that's so good. So he says, motives are attached to specific situation or actions where your character is based on your values. And so just make sure that if you have good character, and I'm assuming everybody that listens to us does, then make sure the motives behind your interest in others are for the real reason or the right reason of why you're doing that.
Right. Well, I love that. If you're genuinely interested in others, it's that it's about them. It's not about me. And so John also says, be careful. Are you motivating or manipulating?
Yeah.
And the difference is doing it for you or doing it for them and for the team. So that's always struck me. And also, I recalled, it's one of my teachings that most people would skim over because it seems so simple, but it says that every follower is asking three questions of you. Do you care about me? Can you help me? And can I trust you? To me, that's really, if I'm genuinely interested in you, I'm looking for ways to help you, to care for you, and to build trust with you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we've got a connection, and we're going places together. So that's good. Was a big one for me as well. Question number three that struck me, and this is, I kind of got to level three type thinking here about, am I adding value to my team? Mm. And John called this the teamwork question.
Yeah. And you've heard John talk about Coach John Wooden. There's a couple of things. I have a couple of maybe sports analogies for you in this one. And Coach Wooden would ask this question of himself every single day. He said, how can I make my team better? And he said every day he asked that question. And it was, how can I make them better? So that they can produce, so that they can win. What does it look like? And then the other question that I want to throw to you that I thought was interesting around this thought, which is, what's best for the rest? So what's best for the rest of the team, the rest of the department, the rest of whatever? And oftentimes you could go back to having the right seat on the bus and do you have them structured? But as a leader, it's your responsibility to be thinking through that and how do I make them the most productive? I read a little paragraph in John's book about where Vince Lombardi, he took over the Green Bay Packers after they had suffered 11 straight losing seasons. And he turned them around in one season just by taking time to understand where the team members could fit the best. And then he went on, and this was before my time, maybe not yours, right? But there were three key players.
I was at that game.
Yeah. There were three key players. And I know Bart Starr was one of them that were sitting on the bench through 11 straight, not all 11, right, but towards the end of that probably 11 straight season. And when Vince Lombardi took it over, he began saying, what's the best position for you that benefits the rest of the team? Mm-hmm. And three guys that were on the bench automatically, through that process, earned it, on the practice field. But they ended up helping turn that team around, and they were already there. They were already there. The coach prior to that just hadn't taken time to really think about what's best for the rest of the team in regards to their skill set.
Right. No, I love this question about adding value to the team. And there was a little throwaway line in the level three is production level, that are you producing results together with the team? And there was a little question John posed about, is the team better because of your presence?
Yeah.
And I put that out in these workshops and asked people, is the team better because of you? Are you adding value to the team? It could be adding value to individuals, could be adding value to the, he asked another question, are you leveraging your strengths to get production results from the team? Or what is it in your path? What have you done that you could leverage with the team? And I just love that engaging what we would call engaging each person, like you said with Bart Starr sitting on the, what's each person's unique intelligence? What do they do better than other people? And am I leveraging that to add value to the team? So love that. So next one, question number four. Am I staying in my strength zone? This is an effectiveness question.
Yeah, great. And a great question, just coming off your comment about John and some of his thoughts around that. And I think this is, when you talk about your strength zone as a leader, as an individual, right? I think that this is the most important question that you can be asking yourself to help you reach your ultimate potential. We could spend a lot of effort and a lot of energy working on some of our opportunities for growth, okay? But we won't reach our potential that way versus, you know, working on our strengths. Now, there are also some opportunities for growth that need to happen with you as a leader, because if not, it's going to be a fatal flaw, you know, to the organization you're working for, to your journey. So I don't want to say that you just say, hey, I'm good at this and this is all I'm doing. There's a fine line and there's a balance there. But I think this is a really important question for us to be asking ourselves, because we need to make sure that because we're responsible for reaching our potential. Understand that it is a process. It's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight. And don't mistake activity as progress in that area. John says there's two things that staying in your strength zone will actually give you. It's going to give you an advantage, and it's going to give you more opportunities. And so what I want to challenge you is to think about, where do you need an advantage? Where do you need another opportunity? And maybe it's because you're not playing in your strength zone. And so just ask yourself that question and begin to unpack that and what that looks like for your leadership journey.
I got really convicted about this one, because I was always taught from youth that you always work on your weaknesses.
So if I was in
sports or something, whatever you're bad at, keep working on that. But John taught it kind of different. He said that you can only grow two points on a scale of 1 to 10. If you're a 3 at something, you're only going to make it to a 5. But if you're a 7, you can make it to a 9. So why wouldn't you work on what you're good at?
Yeah.
And then I realized what's in my weakness might be a strength to someone on my team, which got me into that. Could I delegate this? John has some great teachings, and we've done a podcast on delegation.
Yeah.
But I saw somebody had a job that required me to produce a spreadsheet every week, and it was got more and more complicated with macros and things and spreadsheets. And let me just be clear to all the listeners worldwide, I hate spreadsheets. I get them. I know how they work. I don't want to do them. But I felt like it was my job to do the spreadsheets, and I hated it. I made a comment in a team meeting once about, this is really a weakness for me, but I just got to get better at it. I'm going to take a class on spreadsheets. I'm going to learn these macros. I'm going to do this. And this guy on my team says, I love spreadsheets. I come alive in a spreadsheet.
I can make them spin in different colors and all kinds of stuff.
Two things. Yeah. One, who is this weirdo? And secondly,
how did he get on my team?
I thought, oh, my stars. My brain doesn't I think if I hate spreadsheets, everybody must hate spreadsheets, not knowing that spreadsheet is his strength zone.
That's right.
That's not my strength zone. So I turned it over to him. I said, would you like to do my – I would love to do your spreadsheets. And all of a sudden, I got – turned in these amazing spreadsheets, which I took complete credit for. But he was coming alive. I was being reborn because I didn't have to do spreadsheets
That's
anymore.
Awesome.
It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
But find your strength zone and realize the team, have their strength zones too. And you may be, if you're trying to do things that aren't in your strength zone, there's probably somebody, oh my gosh, my mind explodes. It likes spreadsheets.
I like spreadsheets, which are completely, completely opposite of the way that both you and I think, by the way.
All right, number five. A book on this one. I love this one. Am I taking care of today? It calls this your success question.
Yeah, some people even talk about one of the greatest impacts a book has had on them that John kind of authored was Today Matters. And if you haven't read that book, I would encourage you to do that. As leaders, we're charged with, we have to have the longest lens in the room, right? Like we gotta know where we're going. And sometimes we get focused on that and we keep thinking out in the distance, when reality, what we need to make sure, and we're talking about a level 3 skill set here, right? We need to make sure that things get accomplished today. Like, what is getting accomplished today? And so don't get so caught up in that thinking longer, thinking out further, casting the vision, what is the change? While that's important, You got to make sure that you remember today matters, right? Right. And what are you doing to accomplish what you need to get accomplished today in and through your team? To your point, you said something a minute ago, you know, at level three, we talk about you have influence, right? Because of the fact that you're producing results. And a lot of people take that as individual contributor. And while that is true, it also is in and through your team. Right. And so you need to be very aware of that and need to understand that action happens today.
Well, there were two books when I got into John Maxwell being a power in my life and reading and listening and really growing. There were two books. I looked at the big shelf on Amazon and said, which one am I going to get? There were two books I said I'm never going to read. And one of them happened to be Today Matters. I just couldn't imagine how that could be. But I picked it up and it was life-changing. And what I really took away from that was he asked a question in there, are you preparing or are you repairing? Preparing for what's coming. You're doing what needs to be done today, or are you repairing because you're doing things you should have done yesterday and you're having to repair, do them today, and then now you're off for what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
It really affected me to look at my own life, my own flow of work, my own relationship with my team. Am I completely not taking care of today? And my success is being harmed by that, or am I really preparing by doing the things I need to do today? And this goes into some deep conversations about your priorities, your focus, things that are you're majoring on majors, not majoring on minors. You can have lots of discussion there. But, it was life-changing when you think, how do I handle today? And yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised. All I have is today. What am I doing with it?
Yeah.
So it was a big truth for me. So why don't you wrap it up for us, Chris?
Yeah, so listen. We just kind of challenged you with some questions that we feel like you need to be asking yourself. And so there's two things that I want you to do with this. One is I want you to schedule some white space time, some think time. And
that was the second book. Thinking for a Change.
Thinking
for a
Change,
I'm reading that. Life-changing, by the way.
And what I want you to do is just take these questions that we asked and just write them down and just go spend some time and journal through them and try to do some self-awareness on where you're at. Sometimes I tell people, and this doesn't feel good when you hear this at times, but I think the longer that we're in leadership, the more experience we have, the more complacent we get and unaware of ourselves, right? And so this would be a great kind of first step in you to thinking through that. The second thing is, while we could have good intentions in going through and answering these questions and then maybe having some action items coming out of it, you can't do it unless somebody's walking that road with you. And so what I like to say to people is all the time is that find somebody that's going to encourage you to continue to grow, continue to ask you questions about what you're learning, continue to challenge you. Maybe they share, you know, with you what they're learning. Because if you share that you're going through that with somebody, they're gonna hold you accountable. They're going to ask you. You're going to be able to share some ideas off of that. And that'll kind of hold you, your feet to the fire to going through and answering those questions.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. As always, we're grateful for you listening along. If you want more information about those public workshops, Chris gave you that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/workshops. And of course, if you want to contact us here or learn more about Five Levels, johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. Leave a question for me. We always love hearing from you. That's it for today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.